Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's April 22nd, 2019. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Cory Doctorow at C2E2 in Chicago. Cory is a science fiction author, activist, and journalist. He's also the co-editor of Boing Boing and the author of many books, most recently Radicalized and Walk Away, Science Fiction for Adults, In Real Life, a Graphic Novel, Information Doesn't Want to Be Free, a book about earning a living in the internet age, and Homeland. During our chat, Cory talked about his current work, Radicalized. While he has no plans for a graphic novel in the near future, he dished on his upcoming children's book. Cory also provided his guidance for creators when it comes to ownership of their content. Before we go further, here's some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. On Twitter, Claire Lorden announced her upcoming YA graphic novel, One in a Million. Slated for the fall of 2023, the memoir tells about the author's battle with a brain tumor as a teenager and how her family and love of art helped her overcome the side effects of the illness. Claire said, "I'm so excited. I can finally announce my graphic novel deal. I've been wanting to tell the story for a long time, and I can't wait to share it." Quill and Quire published a review of This Place, 150 Years Retold, featuring writing by Cree author David A. Robertson. The graphic anthology showcases 11 Indigenous writers, 8 illustrators, and 2 color artists, representing over 150 years of Canadian history from different viewpoints, including Métis, Inuit, Dene, Cree, Anishinaabe, and Mi'kmaq. In summary, the review concludes, "This Place, 150 Years Retold, is a fantastic teaching tool for junior and high school students and a great read for any age. And yet it barely scratches the surface of Indigenous history and storytelling. Hopefully this is just the first of many anthologies to challenge that long-taught, one-sided narrative." You can read more at quillandquire.com. Archie Comics announced on Twitter that Jen St. Ange will join Mariko Tamaki on the Archie and Sabrina comic series beginning in July, with a special 2-part flashback story in issues 706 and 707. Mariko Tamaki responded to the news on Twitter with, "Heck yeah!" CBC Books wrote about 15 Canadian books to read this spring. The list includes The Handmaid's Tale graphic novel written by Margaret Atwood and illustrated by Renee Note, This Woman's Work by Julie Delport, Radicalized by Cory Doctorow, and Dare Scarlet by Teresa Wong. You can read more at cbc.ca/books. The Chronicle Herald reported on this past weekend's Geekonox, taking place in Halifax, Nova Scotia, to celebrate comics, gaming, and cosplay. Creators included Tony White, Ed Brisson, and Giselle Lagasse. When asked about getting into comics, Ed was quoted as saying, "Editors want to know that it's going to work out before they hire you. They want to see that you've got a solid body of work and know that you can meet deadlines. If you don't hit your deadlines, you're toast." Giselle said, "It's good if you can put your work out there so people can see it. You just don't give up. It can be 15 years before you get to where you get noticed by the industry." You can read more at thechronicleherald.ca. And now, here's my chat with Cory Doctorow at C2E2 in Chicago. So I'm here with Cory Doctorow at C2E2 in Chicago. Want to talk a bit about your presence here? You were just on stage with Sci-Fi Wire talking about your new book, Radicalized. Wonder if you could talk briefly about that.
Sure. It's a book of 4 very political science fiction novellas about things like how the Internet of Things will make the lives of refugees terrible, how Superman might decide to intervene in the beating of an African-American man in Staten Island and then discover that he's not nearly quite the hero he thought he was, why it is that American angry white men kill their wives and brown people at mosques but never seem to shoot the healthcare executives that doom their children and wives to die of preventable illnesses, and what would happen if they were being radicalized on message boards like incels to go and do that, and how America would resolve that conflict. And then finally, Mask of the Red Death is a story about a rich prepper who has got all the technology and all of the planning to survive the end of the world. And he thinks that when it's all said and done, he can leave his bunker and kind of take over because he's the right sort of person who should be a leader. And what he discovers is that leaders don't cower in holes waiting for other people to do the hard work.
Now, you mentioned in Radicalized that there is a novella with a Superman-like character. You've worked in graphic novels before. Do you think there's any possibility of translating that particular portion? Would that translate to comic book medium?
Oh, sure. I think it would translate very well. I file the serial numbers off of him and Bruce Wayne in very Watchmen style, but it's pretty clear who we're talking about in the story. I think it is completely oriented around that kind of discussion. And, you know, it raises this hard question, which is, if you have privilege and you see injustice in the world, why aren't you an ally? And then when you become an ally, the other hard question is, what took you so long?
Now, you've done some work in the past. In Real Life was released in 2014 as a graphic novel. I wonder if you have any other plans for graphic novels in the future.
Not graphic novels per se, but I have a kid's picture book coming out from the same publisher next year called Posey the Monster Slayer from First Second. And it's a story about a little girl who is obsessed with monsters. And one night in her room, the monsters come, you know, werewolves and vampires and so on. And she has all these super girly toys that she repurposes as field expedient monster killing weapons. So she, you know, maces the beholder with her bubblegum-scented perfume, and she uses her seam ripper to take off Frankenstein's head, and she uses her princess tiara as a silver to ward off the werewolf, and so on. It's a really fun little story.
Sounds good. Now, you've certainly been very active in promoting rights for individuals, especially when it comes to creators. I'm wondering what advice you might give to comic book creators who are getting into this business, perhaps what they should look for to if they're working with a publisher or working with a third party about their own personal work.
Well, I think that the thing that we need to be most aware of is that we have lived through a 40-year-long experiment in allowing companies to grow by buying their competitors. Before the Ronald Reagan, Brian Mulroney, Margaret Thatcher, Augusto Pinochet, Helmut Kohl years of the 80s, companies weren't allowed to do this. And now we have tremendous market concentration. We have two big comic companies. We have five big publishers, which will shortly be four, because it looks like Simon & Schuster is going to end up part of HarperCollins. We've got five big movie studios, which just became four because Disney now owns Fox. Four big record labels. And the thing is that when you have a buyer's market, the sellers suffer. A lot of the remedies that we propose for this are remedies that are no good. So in the European Union, as we record this, we're about 24 hours away from a really big vote on expanding copyright in this very drastic way. It would force everyone who has an online platform to operate an open database of works that are not allowed to be posted to their platform on the grounds that they're copyrighted. And anyone can put anything into it. You could put Shakespeare or the alphabet or the Mona Lisa, and then the users of the platform wouldn't be allowed to post it until someone went in and took it out, and you could re-upload it as quick as they could take it out. It's a terrible idea, and it's being done in the name of creators, and creators, at least some of them, have backed it. You know, Blondie just wrote an op-ed about this, and Paul McCartney has come out in favor of it, and so on. And the thing is that if you give people who are not able to negotiate because there are only a couple of buyers for their work, if you give them a lot more, then they'll just have to sign that away too. It's like if your kid is being beaten up for their lunch money every day and going hungry. Your answer can't be to give them more lunch money, right? Because the bullies will just take that money too. 40 years ago, we threw the steering wheel out of the car, right? That's how we used to guide our industrial policies, with antitrust. And for 40 years, we've been trying to steer the car with the other stuff we've got left. And if you're a creator, it's natural to think that, oh, well, copyright might let us steer the car. But, you know, it doesn't matter how hard you yank on the windshield wiper lever. The car is not going to be steered by it. Even if you attach giant ungainly sails to the windshield wipers, you are still not going to be able to effectively steer the car. As creators, we need to be really alive to this burgeoning debate over monopoly concentration. In Canada, this has been really keenly felt. because you've had all of the bookstores consolidated. You know, there was a big antitrust debate over whether or not Chapters should be allowed to buy Indigo, about whether or not Chapters should be allowed to buy its big distributor, Pegasus. And now you have one bookseller nationally. In Canada, we've allowed our cable operators to buy each other. We've allowed them to buy Maclean's and other beloved magazines, newspaper chains. We allowed Post to buy all of our newspapers nationwide and then immediately load itself up with debt on behalf of vulture capitalists in the U.S. Right? This monopolization is the thing that eats into our income more than anything else. It's really tempting to look at people sharing stuff online and think that that's the problem. But, you know, when people are unwilling to go through traditional commerce channels, the most effective solution that we've ever found for this, the most research-supported one, is to sell good products at a fair price in a timely manner. And our publishers, for whatever reason, have decided to window their releases, charge untenable prices, and lard up their products with DRM that nobody wants, and it drives people to piracy. If we want a better living, then we need more people in the buyer side for what we're selling. We need a more diverse entertainment and media industry, and we've got an election coming up, and this should be an issue in our election.
Thanks to Corey for the chat. You can find more about Corey on Twitter at Doctorow and online at craphound.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. I encourage you to follow along on Twitter at TrueNorthComics. Please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2019.